Watch Queenie, the new original series on Hulu. Who's Queenie? She's in her 20s. She lives in London. She's facing all the firsts. First major heartbreak, first shitty apartment and soul-sucking job, first therapy session to work through those mommy issues. Can she turn her quarter-life crisis into a revolution? Maybe. Will she make some questionable decisions along the way? Definitely. The new series Queenie premieres June 7th, streaming on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, this episode is being brought to you by Tristan Walker and the good folks over at Bevel, the first and only shaving system for men with coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. I use the razor. It's fantastic. It makes you feel like, you know, you're in a James Bond movie or something where somebody really fine would be the star. So go to getbevel.com and use code THEREED to get 20% off of your first Bevel razor. Check them out. They're awesome. The second season of the hit Adult Swim comedy Black Jesus begins on Friday, September 18th at 11 p.m. Eastern and Pacific, 10 p.m. Central. Black Jesus is created by Aaron Magruder, the award-winning genius behind The Boondocks, one of my favorite cartoons. It's starring Slink Johnson. Black Jesus asks the question, what would happen if Jesus lived in modern-day Compton? Hilarity ensues. So check it out, September 18th at 11 p.m., Adult Swim. Let's start the show. Cold beans and collard greens.
Iconic.
Forever and always. We're back for another episode of The Read.
It is, and this is a special episode this week because right now we're in the middle of Europe doing European things.
More than likely. And so this week, I am the mailman.
Oh.
No, the postman.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yes.
Wait a minute. I was going to say, yes, that. The song.
That should have been the song I sang. Whatever. It's too late. Can't turn back. So we're doing a mailbag episode.
Yay, which a lot of you have been asking for lately. So it just happened to coincide with the time that we needed to do one. So woohoo.
Look at that.
So these are when we just go through the inbox and try to just answer a bunch of questions from y'all that we haven't had the chance to get to. So...
do you want to go first?
No, I sure don't. I think you should.
Why not? Do you want to start with something messy?
Yeah, let's
serious,
start with... No. Let's nice. Start with mess. No. The inbox is known for mess, so let's just go with what we're good at.
Okay. Let's start with one called Dipping My Toe in the Pussy Pool.
So I quit already, actually.
So I'm going to say that her name is Glory. Like says, hey, Crystal and Kid Fury, I've been dipping my toe in the pussy pool lately, and now I'm confused. It says, I'm technically straight, but this girl at my job caught my attention.
Are
you just not going to...
This is the story of Gloria Johnson.
Like, you don't know who this is the story
okay,
of.
All right.
I'm going to start over, since you want to be fresh.
Oh, all right.
I've been dipping my toe in the pussy pool lately, and now I'm confused. I'm technically straight, but this girl at my job caught my attention, showed interest, and now we're getting it in. In just 6 weeks of talking, we've already had sex, started leaving toothbrushes and spare clothes at each other's homes, and spend most nights of the week together.
My fucking people.
At first, the speed we were moving freaked me out, but then I remembered Crystal saying that lesbians bring U-Hauls on the first date. So I felt like our trajectory was normal.
Really?
Plus, this girl is one of the dopest I've ever met, and I find myself disinterested by other potential bays, so I said, screw it, let's dive in. Here's the problem. She doesn't want a relationship. She wants all the benefits of one with the freedom to communicate with ex-girlfriends and ex-puss pals, her
all
words,
right. Puss pals.
And throwback bustos.
Yum.
Not sure. I got an Urban Dictionary, that one. I'm a serial monogamist, and she... Does that make sense?
Yeah. I guess, you know, people who are just like, I don't know, they stay in a relationship maybe, like just constantly. I don't know.
I'm a serial monogamist and she's a recovering thought and we can't seem to get on the same page. It kills me because I'm about to change up everything in my life, potentially lose friends and family. What is she making you go to the moon with her? What the freak? Potentially lose friends and family and affect my work life just to be with her. And she can't stop hotline blinging old ass clingers. Should I fall back or try to work it out? Signed, bitches is niggas too.
Okay. Well, my goodness.
So, first what do you have all, to say to bitches?
I was going to say, I know you picked this out because these are my people.
No, I picked it out because I went into the inbox and the first subject line I saw said dipping my toe in the pussy pool.
And I just, okay.
It wasn't even the first email. It was just like, what?
What's her name? Did she give a name?
She didn't because she's probably Shane. Yeah. I mean, I can see your real name here, but I'm not going to do
all
that.
Right. Well, young
maybe
lady.
She's not ashamed, but it says bitches is niggas too.
If I were you, I would not be getting ready to like prepare myself to throw away friends and family and have my whole life changed up and go through all these major differences behind a girl who has already clearly stated she does not want to be in a relationship. And then part B to that, like, you don't even identify as a lesbian.
Hello?
So you ready to risk it all?
Why would she want to be? Let me stop. I don't take this the wrong way, but like, Brittany could have saved herself a whole lot of trouble.
A whole lot.
Like, you know,
if you have to look at this from a lesbian perspective. Brittany could have, like, honestly saved herself all this legal bullshit and going through the courts and now probably gonna have to pay child support had she just dated a lesbian and not a girl who was fucking around with another girl for the first time. I'm not saying there's something wrong with you for dating around or for being curious and following through on that curiosity, but understand that lesbians should be hesitant to enter a relationship with someone who does not identify as a lesbian.
Because you're still saying I'm technically straight, but you're not.
So why do I want to be in a relationship with you when you can't even admit to yourself that you are attracted to women? Like, you can't even say that about yourself. You don't even say bisexual. Like, you still call yourself straight. So then why would I be in a relationship with you? It doesn't make sense. Like, so, yeah, she...
Not to say that she doesn't want to be in a relationship with you because you're a straight girl, because you're saying that she's just a hoe. And in case, even if you were a lesbian, that's enough for you to be like, okay, I'm good.
Right. And so the other part of that is, like, you see how she's acting. So why are you so pressed to, like, why would you even want to be with this person when you see already how she's, like, are you signing up for some shit when you see that it's bullshit? Why would you walk into this?
Now, I'm the one who I usually vote for women to try vag out, especially if they've had, you know, loss after loss with peen. Because I've known lesbians, you know, they're my favorite type of person. And I've always known them to be quite, you know, nice. And they'll take you, they'll take their girlfriends to Pride with them.
They do. Lesbians love going to Pride with their girlfriends.
Oh my gosh, they make it a weekend retreat. All the studs.
They go everywhere with their girlfriends. They go to So this doesn't surprise me in the least. I would just say, you know, this looks like the type of situation that has warning signs absolutely all over, girl. There are red flags everywhere. And if I were you, I would definitely not be looking to change up my whole life and move in with this girl and come out to my family and all this. Like, not for this situation, girl. Just relax.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice that you felt like you could experiment and you liked it. You know, I'm a fan of those stories. But if she's, I mean, her being a girl is no different. I mean, I'm not going to give you a different answer than if you were dating a guy and he was like, I don't want to be in a relationship and I'm just going to fuck everybody. And it's the same thing. She's just a girl.
You can't make people act right. So you might as well just avoid that situation altogether.
And worse off, she'll probably bust your ass if you're mean, because both of y'all are women. Lesbians be boxing.
You know what? And I don't play that shit. Like, that's not like, oh, yeah, fighting. But like, I also cannot say that I've never been involved in a physical domestic dispute with a woman, because I absolutely have. And it's just,
can't say that I haven't. Not with a woman, obviously, but I mean, you know, physical domestic, you know what I mean? But that's what I'm saying. Like, we're both the same gender. Run up and get done up. Like, I don't give a fuck how long we've been together. You raise your hand. Like, no. Okay. I've had no, but I have to like walk away. I can't do it no more. I'm too grown and I have shit to lose.
I don't ever start it. I don't ever hit first.
Yeah, I don't start it either.
I never hit first.
I just walk away now.
But look, bitch, you're not just gonna hit me, okay? You're just not.
Yeah, you're not going to put your hands on me. And if you get too close, I'm just gonna remove myself.
Oh, okay. Well, amen.
All right. Do you have one?
Or
do you...
Well, I'm looking here in the inbox. Do you want to do the one about you? The one that says Dear Kid Fury, or you want to pick a different one?
A different one.
Okay. So this one has my name in it, and it seems a little confrontational. It says, really, Crystal Cheese Grits? So I'm going to click this, feeling like you're attacking me.
Oh, God, I feel like I picked that one.
And I think you did. Says, hi, my name is Jasmine, and I was listening to the show a couple weeks ago. Crystal took an aside to talk about how she can't deal with people who put sugar in their grits. Okay, ma'am, what? So call me crazy, but that's all I grew up on. I have never heard of cheese and bacon and grits until I went south. Now, I personally don't even really like grits. You can pass me cream of wheat made with milk.
That's disgusting.
Any day. So this got me wondering, what are some of you and Kid Fury's preferences of the following? Okay, but that was rude. Cream of wheat? How do you compare grits?
People have different.
Cream of wheat.
I don't even know what cream of wheat is.
You grew up in the Pacific Northwest, didn't you? Because otherwise I don't get this. Oh, Inglewood. Never. Not Pacific. Not. Or not Northwest, but. Anyway, so what are you and Kid Fury's preference of the following? Number one, grape jelly versus strawberry jelly.
Can I just start by saying that I don't even like grits. I don't understand the fascination with them at all. Like, I think that all around that they're nasty, personally.
Grits are delicious.
But if I had to choose, they would not have sugar in them. Just eat oatmeal.
Like, I just had shrimp and grits in Houston, and it was everything. Like, what? Sugar? Ugh. Who are y'all? Who are you people who do this? Ugh.
Sugary grits.
Disgusting. That is wrong. But anyway. So, grape jelly versus strawberry jelly.
Cookie butter.
I was going to say, this is the kind of thing that I would go either way on. I don't prefer one of those over the other.
Apricot.
Really? Apricot? They don't have apricot at Popeyes. Cool Ranch versus Nacho Cheese Doritos.
Spicy sweet chili.
I was going to say, girl, the purple bag Doritos are really it. Just.
Yeah, you don't know what you're doing. Like, you got the whole game fucked.
Pancakes versus waffles versus French toast.
So, we already had this discussion on Twitter. Not sure where you are, but.
Everybody is not on Twitter.
Like I said, I don't know where you were, but French toast would be Beyonce.
I agree.
Waffles would be Kelly and pancakes would be Michelle.
Only like Belgian waffles, though. If
yes,
it's like Eggo
like
waffles,
actual,
what
not
throw
those do not
right,
count.
That's not a real waffle. That's bullshit.
I'm actually not. None of these things. None of these things. If you're talking about frozen, they don't count. I'm talking about some shit that somebody made,
right.
from scratch. I'm not talking
cooked.
About some shit that you got in the
not
frozen
you heat
food
it up.
Section next to the fucking freeze pops and ice cream sandwiches and shit. No,
we're not debating the difference between Eggo products. We're talking about
absolutely
actual food.
Not.
So if it's a
I thought waffles,
waffle, then it shits on pancakes. It's just forever.
I hated waffles for like. 8-9 years maybe longer, because those were the only ones I knew. I was like, why do people eat these nasty ass, these fucking cardboard box tasting ass thing, like but
that wasn't the type of thing your mama made for like breakfast or something.
Yeah, no, because you had no damn waffle iron.
Oh, okay.
So, you know,
no.
But
right,
one day,
you know what, that's real.
We went somewhere for what? It's like,
these kids ain't getting no goddamn waffles.
I have
you
to
will
go
eat
to
cold
work.
Cereal that I pour into a bowl and you will be glad about it. Nigga.
Matter of fact, you will pour it into the bowl and you know where the milk is.
We
at.
Got cornflakes and orange juice for breakfast damn near every day of my life.
And don't let me, I was bougie because I didn't like cold milk in my cereal. So it just was weird. And it's the first thing in the morning. Like, who the fuck wants cold milk in their mouth? Gross. So I always would put the milk in like a little bowl, and then I would put it in the microwave for a few seconds so it was kind of like warmer, at least like lukewarm, and then put the cereal in it. So it was like,
I used to drink milk, warm milk before bed when I was really little, and it always did knock me right the fuck out. I loved it.
Yeah, but if we're talking about those three things, it's French toast, then waffles, and pancakes.
Yes, absolutely. I agree.
And, all right.
All right. Yeah, that was the end of her question. She said she loves the show.
Sugary grits.
I mean, I really felt like you kind of came for me a little bit, but
she did.
Honestly, my opinion on this, like, it's not technically, you know, correct that opinion can be like better than somebody else's, but I just feel like people who eat sugar in their grits are really just fucking with the name of grits. It's just wrong.
Right.
Okay. So it's your turn.
Lord, a lot of these are. This one is from Snagglepuss. It says, let me start out.
All right.
By. Saying that I appreciate your show and love you guys. I agree with you on almost every listener letter. You're probably going to read me to filth for this, but I'm interested in hearing your side.
Why do y'all do this to yourselves?
I should just skip that whole part. Okay, so it says, in previous shows, it is implied that neither you or Kid Fury approve of open relationships. I am gay and happen to be in one. I know a handful few of married gay. You know, I'm not Crystal and I did not edit any of these damn emails. So what you sent is what you get in. I know a handful few of married gay couples who are also in similar situations. My boyfriend and I discussed the idea thoroughly before we opened our relationship almost a year ago. And we both agreed that there is a distinct difference between a one-time romp in the sheets and intimate slash passionate sex. We trust each other enough to know that at the end of the day, we are still going to come home to each other. We believe that while sex plays an important, hey Siri, mind your business. While sex plays an important part in a relationship, it is not the focal point. There are other much larger factors at play. Being in an open relationship is not a free pass to go out on dates and spend the night with other guys. Just merely an understanding that sometimes it is nice to switch things up a little bit with someone new. Okay. Now that you've heard my side, what is your position on the issue? Thanks in advance. Keep slaying the game. So, Snag, now that I've heard your side, my position on the issue stays the goddamn same. Also, because, first of all, I don't know if he says it is implied that we don't approve of open relationships. I don't think that I've ever said I don't approve of them.
No, we've clearly never said that.
Certain that I've said that they are not for me.
Right. So, and that is what you should have taken from that. That this is our opinion for our dating lives. And what you do is of no consequence to me.
In fact, I'm pretty sure I've also said, if I haven't, I'm saying it now, that most of the gay men that I know who have been in long relationships, I'm talking 5 years plus, the gay men that are like married couples and things like that, usually are in open relationships or they have like threesomes and orgies and things like that, like so that they're not just fucking each other for the rest of their lives. Whatever floats your goddamn boat, sweetheart, that's you. You know what I'm saying? And it's not that I feel like Elise Neal. It's not that you know, when you're talking to me, when you're referencing me, like, that's something that I can't get with. I don't give a fuck if, you know, intimate sex is different than, you know, fucking or one night in the sheets. And, you know, we don't keep the niggas, we don't cook them breakfast in the morning. I don't give a fuck about any of that. Right. You know, I personally do not, I'm never going to be with the idea of the person that I'm in love with, the person that I'm committed to having sex with other people. That's just not something that I can get with. Maybe one day I'll be 50 years old, God willing, I make it that long, and my views will change. But you know what, nigga, you boring, we boring, this sex is boring, let's go find a hoe. I don't know. Like, as of right, just don't see that.
Yeah.
Being a part of my life at all. But if it works for you, then great.
Right. Please don't assume or infer that we're saying something about us and that means that we disapprove of it in you.
Maybe you feel a kind of way about this shit since you wrote this whole entire letter.
Like, you found this implication that just wasn't there.
Kid Fury doesn't want to be in an open relationship. That's you. If it works for you and your boyfriend, great. Shit, I ain't got no goddamn answer. Right, you know what I'm saying? Ain't nobody putting no rings on my motherfucking finger. So
do whatever works for you as long as you're like not involving kids or animals. I don't really give a fuck what you do. So, you know, have fun.
So, I mean, I just don't understand it because I couldn't, you know, I couldn't. But it works for a lot of people. And if you can find a way to keep yourselves sexually entertained, stimulated or whatever, and if that increases the length of your relationship or love life or whatever, then perfect.
Yeah, whatever makes you happy.
Right.
All right. This next question comes from Anonymous. She says, everybody and their mama listens to this show, which thank you. But OK. Dear Kid Fury and Crystal, this October will make a year that I ended an extremely unhealthy relationship of 5 years. I dealt with cheating, blatant lies and disrespect like a dumbass, but I kicked his weak ass to the curb when I found out he had been talking to multiple girls.
Good for you.
Even though this was nothing completely new because I had tried to ignore the fact that he hurt me so much, I decided it was finally time to let it go. I'm getting my second degree, my natural hair is popping, and I'm basically a better person than he'll ever be. All right.
Okay.
With that said, I found the love of my life at school and a few months after the breakup. He's a gazillion times the man that my ex could ever be and treats me like a queen. My problem is, as weak as my ex is, I still find myself looking at his Twitter to see what he's up to and occasionally wondering what he's doing. It's not that I'm not over him, because that ship has absolutely sailed, but I just want to know if this is normal and if either of you have ever experienced anything like it. Thank you so much. You are both so amazing. I've been a fan from day uno. So thank you, Anonymous.
Thanks so much, Anonymous. You're not over him.
No, you're sure not, sweetie. If you were, you would not be looking at his Twitter, finding his Instagram.
If you were over him, you wouldn't even think to look at his Twitter or his Instagram, because you wouldn't give a fuck what he was doing. Like, you're not over him. And I've been in that position myself where I'm just like, man, I don't give a fuck about that. I'm so over that nigga. Oh, my God. And I'm still like, looking at his page,
looking
and
at your MySpace.
Like, why would you
getting mad when there's a new bitch in your top 10 and all that? I used to be that same way. Like, you say you don't care, but your actions say the exact opposite. And it's okay to not care, or it's okay to still care, because y'all were together for 5 years,
right?
Like, it wasn't like that. It's not like that's some insignificant amount of time. And it looks like you basically found you a rebound who is like treating you nice, and that's good that he's a good guy. But you clearly still have feelings for your ex, which is understandable. So I don't think it's really an issue of telling you to stay off his Twitter. I think it's an issue of you being honest with yourself. Like,
right.
Are you really ready to be in a relationship with somebody else when you still feel the need to check up on your ex?
Because why
shouldn't,
are you doing
right,
that?
Right. You shouldn't, like, even feel the need to do that.
What is that stemming from? Why do you feel the need to check up on the things that he's doing if you, A, are over him, and you've moved on, and it's been however long, and you're in a new situation now? Then it's like, it's just like people who get into like a new, or start dating someone new after a bad breakup, mm-hmm. and they start posting all of these things about this new person, how they've found the love of their life, and they're posting like Flipgram videos with Weeknd's music in the background and all kinds of shit, and just trying to, and in all in an effort to get your ex to see, you know, I don't fuck with you, or right. whatever. And it's like, to me, I see people do that shit all the time, and it's like, you're doing this because you still have some sort of a feeling.
Feelings.
And when I say that you still have feelings for him, it doesn't mean that you want to be with him again. It doesn't mean you are, you know, trying to get back in a relationship, but you haven't let go to some sort of an emotion with this person, which is why you're still actively in their online business.
Mm-hmm.
And until you can fully let go and just be like, I don't give a fuck what 140 characters that nigga tweeted about today, like, I don't, it has nothing to do with me. Like, yeah. You'll just find yourself at a point where it's like, you forgot about the motherfucker. Like, you know, like, oh shit, mm-hmm. I wonder if that bitch is still alive. That's right. When you know you're over him.
Right, because like, when I read the story, when I read this letter, I was thinking like, damn, I wonder if I even found my ex's Twitter, would I give enough of a fuck to like really read it? I doubt I would. Like, because I just don't give a damn what's going on in her life, or like, what her presence is on social media. And that's how it should be if you're feeling like you're going to be dating somebody else. So if I were you, I would just really think about whether it's fair to be in a relationship with somebody who seems to be like a nice guy and is treating you nicely. But like, is it really right to be with him knowing that you do still have some kind of feeling, whatever is still lingering for your ex? So you should think about it.
Definitely.
All right. So let's take a break and we'll be right back.
Hey guys, this episode is brought to you by the great tasty people over at NatureBox. If you're anything like myself, you love snacks because they're delicious, they're good, they're convenient. You'll be watching TV or doing anything else lazy like me and just have something to pop right into your mouth. And with NatureBox, you don't have to feel like crap after you snack. You can give in to your temptation the smart way with their delicious snacks. That's right. NatureBox has Sriracha Cashew Crunch, which we live for.
Yum.
They've got whole wheat chocolate chip cookie bites. They've got cocoa Belgian waffles. We were talking about that earlier. And the strawberry lemonade fruit stars, which are kind of a personal favorite.
So good.
So if you want, you can go to naturebox.com/thread. And the first box is on us.
Yes, it's full of flavor, but without any of the junk. They're made with ingredients you can trust, and they've got a smart snack guarantee. So if there's ever anything you don't love, let the great people over at NatureBox know, and they will replace it in your next box. It's so easy. It's so satisfying. So again, your very first box is on us at naturebox.com/thread. Head right now to unbox a world of taste and possibility. Yum. Let them know the Read sent you. And now let's get back to the show.
So we're back. It's mailbag episode here.
That's right.
Somewhere in September. And
I think this is airing on my birthday or the day after, one or the other.
All right. Well, happy birthday.
Thanks.
All right. Is it your turn? My turn?
It's your turn.
Sure. Then let's start with a fun one.
Okay.
This is from, I was going to say Brock, but that's your brother's name. But he's also the name of a Pokemon trainer.
Really?
Because this is a Pokemon email.
It's a Pokemon trainer?
Yeah.
Wow.
He was a gym leader, and he was one of Ash's best friends.
Is he like a human that trains? Yes. Okay. Well, I don't really know what a Pokemon is, so. But
they're
right.
Little pocket monsters.
No, I know what it stands for. I just don't, like, what is that?
A monster in your pocket, bitch. I don't know.
What the fuck?
It says, hi, Crystal and Kid Fury. I was just on Tumblr when I saw someone draw Rihanna as a Pokemon gym leader with an Eevee and an Umbreon. Did you see? Rihanna was somewhere.
What the fuck are these words?
Rihanna was, I'm going to pull it up so you know what the fuck we're talking
okay.
about.
Okay.
She was somewhere and she was wearing this really cool outfit. And it was like really colorful, and I don't know. It looked like she may have gotten it from Japan.
Is it
Maybe
recent?
That's why. It just looked like real anime to me.
Okay.
And I think it is recent. And someone like made a meme of it or a caption and said she looked like a Pokemon trainer. And it was hilarious because if you've ever played Pokemon, watched it or whatever, she really and truly did.
I'm sure this is hilarious to people who are familiar with Pokemon.
God.
I'm trying to get it though. What's the question?
Anyway, someone on Tumblr made this. So this is what she wore. It's like this like blue.
Oh yeah. It's jazzy. Oh, it does look real. Yeah. I see what you mean by the Asian influence.
Anyway, so she definitely looked like an anime character. It says, I want the photo made her say, or maybe this is a guy. This is a guy. I'm sorry. The photo said, I wonder what Pokemon Kid Fury and Crystal would think certain pop stars would have. So I'm asking, but if you're not a big Pokemon fan, I'd like to know which Sailor Scout you would assign to Beyonce. Thank you for entertaining my nerdy question, and I love your show.
Okay. Well, I definitely don't get like 80% of it, so.
Which Sailor Scout would Beyonce be then?
The one that had an attitude problem with the dark hair?
Ray?
Maybe.
Mars?
I think it was. No, not Mars. She was the real smart one who was like always correcting everybody and all
yeah,
that.
It was Mercury. She was Amy.
Oh, well, who? So the one who had an attitude and with the dark hair. Her.
Why would that one be Beyonce?
Because I feel like that's most like the
you?
Real. Well, I mean, yes, me. But then also like the real Beyonce. Like, I feel like Beyonce is just sweet to like fans and stuff because she knows that's how people expect her to be. But in real life, she probably like, girl.
Beyonce literally had the meatball head hair. At the Made in America Festival. Like
but
in those transitions, she had the Sailor Moon hair.
But Sailor Moon is really annoying. She's annoying and she's stigmatized.
Well,
and she's flighty.
You didn't give her a
and
chance.
And she's irresponsible.
She matures.
She always fucks up.
She comes into
she
her own.
She lets the shadow man like dictate her whole life. She's just so dumb behind that nigga, whatever he's called.
Tuxedo Mask.
Yes. Him, Tuxedo Mask. She's so dumb over that nigga. Like, she just is annoying as fuck. She needs to grow
up. He's her baby's father.
Okay. Well, listen, she was a teenager, right? She was a teenager, so.
I mean, in the future, he becomes her baby father, like, on the moon.
Do you hear yourself?
It's a cartoon, bitch. God
so
damn.
So which Pokemon is Beyonce then?
That's not even a goddamn question.
It's
the
not?
Question is, what Pokemon would certain pop
what?
Stars have? Right. You have to know at least two Pokemon.
Just name one
that you could think of.
Pokemon.
The name of one of them.
So Pokemon is like the... Hold on.
It's the name of the program and game.
Right. So that's
name not, one of the creatures.
Bulbasaur.
Without Google.
I can't.
So you've never heard of Pikachu. Never in
oh,
your
Pikachu.
Life.
Yes. I have heard of Pikachu. Yes.
Jesus.
But I think that might be the only one.
Probably.
I don't think
and you
I
know
knew.
What? Fair. That's fair.
Thank you. Yes, because Pikachu was everywhere.
So just give Pikachu to somebody.
Okay.
Who?
Oh, I don't know what he
Who
does.
Who would have a Pikachu? He's electric. He's an electric rat or mouse.
And he does what to you? Does he inspire
you?
So you die? So I would give it to like, I don't get it.
All right. So sweetheart, I'm just going to take this one. I feel like Beyonce would have like a Ninetales.
What is this?
Beyonce would have like a Ninetales because Ninetales is like majestic and like fine and like.
What?
like regal and like stands up straight, has a great posture and all these. Yeah.
Okay.
So Beyonce would have like Ninetales. Miley Cyrus would have like Muck. And Taylor Swift would have that new one that looks like keys. Because what is that? No, Taylor, there's one that looks like garbage.
What?
That one would be. Okay. That one would be hers. No, that one would be Taylor Swift too. I think Miley Cyrus would probably be like a poison leader. Like
what
she would have
Muck
nothing
do?
But poison Pokemon. He's literally like a bunch of muck and poisons you.
Oh, okay. So,
yeah. Who else do we like? Name a pop star, and I'll give them a Pokemon.
Rihanna.
Rihanna would have a Squirtle when he wore them sunglasses in that movie. Or that no, there was like a gang of Squirtles, and they all wore sunglasses, and they were like too cool for school, and like swam. Yeah. Rihanna would have a water Pokemon, I think. Name another one.
Mariah Carey.
Mariah would have... I'm trying to think of like... Oh, I already gave Ninetales to somebody. She has to have like a real majestic bat bitch Pokemon too.
And is there only like
did
one
say,
or two
Did
ever?
You say one? Jigglypuff. See, he gets it.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Oh, wait. No, that's shade. Because Jigglypuff sang and everybody fell asleep.
Oh, that's wrong.
And then she drew on their face.
You walked right into that.
But she had a good voice. It wasn't her fault. That was her power. She sang and it would lull you to sleep. Oh. She didn't understand that. And so she felt like everybody was shading her. And then they would draw. She would draw on their faces.
Oh, that sounds like Mariah Carey, too. Like, petty. She thought somebody disrespected her, so she drew on their face.
That's Lana
perfect.
Del Rey.
Oh.
Lana Del Rey's Jigglypuff.
Suicide music?
No, girl.
Oh.
Like music that y'all say makes you sleep.
Oh, well, yes, you damn right about that. She makes
I'm done with the question. I'm the only one. Me and the engineer. The
I mean, I can sit
Pokemon.
Here and think up people for you to do this with, but I, if you ask
Name
me.
Name one more.
Jennifer Hudson. Why is that funny?
Okay, so who has Scream? Or like Lear. She would have like normal, maybe a Chansey. No. Chansey heals people. I'm trying to, who is, I know they have ones that like shout mad loud. Get back to me. I'll figure it out. Before the episode is over, I'm going to give Jennifer Hudson a Pokemon.
Okay.
All right. So it's your turn.
Yes, it is. And our next question comes from Andrew. It says, hey, Kefir and Crystal, I just started dating Evan, who's about 4 years younger than me and just moved to Seattle.
Zubat. That's the one Jennifer would have.
Zubat. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't. I'm sure that's nice.
Or Exploud.
Are these the ones that just holler or they just cause a...
Loudred.
Okay. Loudred. I think I get it. He's a graduate from an Ivy League university. He's genuinely sweet and personality-wise, we get along really well. I've only dated him for a month, but I can see us having a long-term relationship and one day raising a child with him, as he's the type of person who would make a great father. Financially, he's also set up with a really good job, and he has ambitions for even better things. There is just one thing wrong: his penis. I've Jesus. Never dated anyone who had a penis as small as his. I think it's about 2.5 to 3 inches. We haven't had sex yet, and I'm worried I won't enjoy it or I'll hurt his feelings if I say something about it. Am I being shallow and short-sighted, or is this a legitimate concern? I'm not the type of person who has sex a lot. It's probably been almost a year since I last slept with someone, and I don't feel pressed to do it again. Thank you for helping. I really enjoy your podcast and love everything you guys do, Andrew. So, Andrew's boyfriend has a small penis, and I felt like you maybe would have a little more insight to this than I do.
Bitch!
No, I'm not saying
you're totally right.
Right, see, okay. See, fuck you.
Wow.
What
wow,
do you
bro.
Do? I mean, because he's great in every other way. He has a job. He's ambitious. He's a good
They
guy.
Make straps for guys.
But there's no substitute for the real thing. So.
Well, there needs to be in this case. Because God, what the? What? Okay, so I've heard that like, you know, I've heard of like micro penises, and I guess they're like a real thing.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they're that small. Maybe though. I'm not sure.
Because isn't like five is like below average. Because isn't like I think like The average penis size, I think, is between like 6 to 7.
No, I thought it was 5 and 5.5 inches.
Well, we black. So
okay. Well, so listen, Okay. All right.
From a different cloth. All right. But generally.
Okay.
I think science.
I think 2.5 to 3 sounds small by any measure, though. Like, I think to everybody, that sounds like an unfair situation. Like, that's
erect?
I don't know. They've never had sex, so maybe. I mean, would it really make that big of a difference if it was 2.5 inches soft?
You damn. Okay, so listen.
I don't know how much they grow. I know they plump when you cook them, but I just don't know how big they get. From 0 to 100.
Hopefully bigger than 3 goddamn inches.
Well, I mean, yes, obviously.
I heavily believe I'm not a size queen at all. I don't, you know, I actually prefer like an average size if you really want to get down to brass tacks, because don't nobody have time or space. For all of that monstrous shit that some of you niggas like to brag about. That's very cute. Great for you. They're lovely to look at and hold and, you know, all of those things. But when it gets down to penetration, all I can do is pray for you.
Okay. All right. Jesus. I mean, I'm sorry. That's just not going inside me.
Some niggas might, you know, inspire you to just give it a shot. But what I'm saying is I'm just not like big dicks or shut your mouth.
Oh yeah.
So you know, I'm just not. You know, but 2 to 3, I just don't know what you can do with that. And I do believe that it's not about the motion in the ocean, not the size of the boat, whatever.
Yeah,
the fuck they
something
say.
Like that.
You have to know what to do. There's plenty of niggas with huge dicks that have no idea what to do with them, and small dicks and don't, or whatever. So
yeah.
I mean, I guess give it a shot. You know, he may surprise you. You know, you may actually enjoy
it. You might like it before you criticize it. You know, try it out.
Try it out. You know, he may compensate for his penis size in loads of other ways.
He may be really good
sex
at some
is
other things.
More than just, you know, penetration.
Mm-hmm.
But girl, if not, I say go for the strap.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing wrong with trying a strap or a dildo, I guess, if he's into that. If he's not, then I guess. But that's like, how do you even have that kind of conversation with somebody? Like, I dig you in every way imaginable, but
your dick is just
your
so
genitals
tiny.
Are lacking, and I need you to permanently substitute them with something else. Like,
if that nigga's dick is 2 inches rock,
maybe he
knows what's up. So you can try and call, you know, coat it with whatever sugar you want, taffy. I don't give a fuck. But if his dick is really 2 inches long,
right.
I don't think that you would be the first one to say something. Maybe you would be the first one to say something, but you damn sure won't be the first one who's had an issue with it, unless he's a virgin. So,
I mean, yeah.
But sex is like, sex shouldn't be a deal breaker unless it just cannot ever, unless there's no way that you can find yourself satisfied. You can work around sex. Like, if that's the only thing that you're not satisfied with, try and find ways to switch it up, spice it up, do little things to make it more interesting so that you can get that. Because if he's a really great guy, it would be a shit to pass it up because his penis is, you know.
Yeah. I mean, right. You don't want to
minuscule.
You don't want to just throw out a guy who could be perfectly good because of an issue that may not even really be an issue. So give it a try and, you know, see what can work out
for
you.
He might break your back with all 2 of them.
He might blow your mind with some of the tricks he can do.
You don't know.
Who knows what he's picked up over a lifetime of having a 2-inch penis? He's learned all kinds of shit. That man might blow your mind. So
give it
a shot. Good luck to you. Yes. All right. Well, it's your turn.
Oh, right. I work here. Okay.
Just looking at me like, okay.
Because you said 2 to 3 inch dick, and I'm still trying to figure out, like.
Bless his heart. And this is a gay male relationship. I don't know if you picked up on that. So
shout out to you, Vin, because I feel like many queens would have just been like, where's the beef? And then they would just left. So at least you're trying to make it work. Good for you.
Not that old ass lady on them Wendy's commercials, though.
I love that commercial. Okay. So let's do one. Called, oh, in the vein of sex.
Yay. Why not?
So let's just stick there. So this one.
Stick. Sorry. Sorry.
So this letter is from LeChat.
All right.
And It says, first off, the show makes my week. Each episode, I love hearing your opinion so much. I decided to submit a personal question, and I would like to remain anonymous, please.
Okay.
I've been with my boyfriend for 5 years. We recently broke up for a few months. Now we are back together. We broke up over my decision to move to another state in which I was offered a job, also partially because I wasn't happy. We have a great relationship. The only real issue is the sex life. He has a very high sex drive, while I will be okay if we have sex way less often. I really do not enjoy it with him, but more on my own without penetration. I truly enjoy the pre-sex action. Damn right, bitch. That's where it's at. Well, not that the whole thing. Let me be quiet.
Right.
While we were broken up, I hooked up with a woman.
Oh, Lord.
Same situation. I love that women are just free to just try things out. And,
yeah,
you know,
just whenever like, they feel like
taste
it.
The veg and be like, yeah, I did. You know, I'm not my thing. But, you know, shout out to the girls. Like, the girls
and
can
that's
do
really
that.
It. Yeah, it can just be like a
niggas
thing
don't
try.
Even say, I bless you if you sneeze. Like, what the fuck? And you know a fine nigga when you see one. Right. You don't have to go and tell the world the nigga's attractive. But you know.
Okay.
Anyway. While we were broken up, I hooked up with a woman, same situation. Basically, I was all into it, but I was not really satisfied. Both my man and the woman I hooked up with overly enjoyed themselves. Okay, well, shout out to you.
Overly enjoyed.
But I am not sure why I'm not on the same page. Overall, I'm with my man because our relationship is amazing. Other than for me, that small part called sex. But I don't want it to be an issue again in the future. I would like your advice because I really want this to work. Thanks. I love intimacy, but not sex.
Well, girl, I mean, honestly, this sounds complicated because I don't know what the fuck you're going to do when it comes to dating, because most people, I think, sex is definitely like, if not number one, then top two requirements in a relationship.
You say you love intimacy and sex is literally the most intimate thing you can do with somebody.
So maybe you just don't feel particularly close to these people.
Well, she said that she loves her boyfriend and her boyfriend's amazing or whatever. So, but she just doesn't like sex. What I wish she would have said what she doesn't like about it specifically.
I mean, if it's just the penetration part, like you don't like being penetrated at all. Maybe it's an issue of you like not being aroused enough. Like maybe y'all need to try out some different shit so that you do enjoy sex. Because you know, I just don't like it. Period. Seems a little like it's got to be something about sex that you're really not feeling.
Yeah, I think you need to figure out what exactly it is about the penetration part that you're not a big fan of and then go from there.
But I do understand completely having like a way different sex drive from your man.
Yeah, that I get too.
Me and my ex had like polar opposites. Like I'm cool with, you know, whenever, like every now and then or whatever. And this same. Nigga's like, daily is good. Multiple times per day would be better. And I'm just like, well, who has time? Like, why not next weekend? You know, so that.
And it's even worse for bottoms because ain't nobody trying to clear out their whole day of eating and shit and flush your whole ass out.
When are you supposed to have a day of
like,
eating?
No, I'm actually great today. I just had all the nachos, so back up.
Like, girl, maybe Thursday.
Yeah, let's just.
Can you not?
Let me look at my calendar. Like, no.
Let me see when I can clear a day. Like, ain't nobody got time to be making adjustments for your ass. I'll put it that way. But just like,
you might have to compromise though, because I don't think you're going to find many people that won't want to penetrate you.
I mean, especially since clearly your pussy is just yanking.
Yeah, apparently yours is just so
much. So
good.
Pussy. Like, all right, girl, your shit is that good. I guess niggas is going to want to get in it. And if it's an issue of like, you don't necessarily dislike sex but you just don't like to have it as much as your partner does, then it's an issue of like communication, like, you know, kind of give and take about that and talking about what the issue may be, you know, between the two of you. But you know, sometimes people just don't like it as much as their partner does. Y'all just have to come to a mutual understanding about that. Like, if you can't talk about it, then you shouldn't be having sex.
Get a vibrator. And
see if you can learn to love it. I mean, because she says she prefers to have sex on her own. Like,
she says, I prefer on my own without penetration.
Right. So, I mean, but that's most sex toys. Most women don't orgasm from penetration.
I mean, I know.
So if she's enjoying it more with sex toy, that's because it's clitoral stimulation instead of depending on penetration.
Right, what I'm saying is,
get one of them things that like
the rabbit.
Is that what it is?
The one that like penetrates and also tickles the
No, I'm thinking
of
something she can use with her man. Like they make sex toys that you can use that like vibrates on your clit while you're fucking your man, so you get like both sensations at the same time. That may be just what you need. Something like
all these newfangled things.
I mean, something. I'm saying y'all should be able to talk about it, play around, see what works for you. But
yeah, if you've ever had a conversation with them about like about it, yeah, and just like, look, I don't particularly enjoy getting poked,
and you've ruled out lesbianism, so it's not that you're a averse to dick, you just need to figure out why, you know, you're not enjoying it, but y'all can figure it out, I'm sure.
And if not, just, you know, fake it like plenty of women across the world.
No, do not fake it. What? Don't waste your life never having an
orgasm. I mean, if you want to be with, which doesn't mean she can't fake, I'm saying like fake the penetration.
Oh, fake it with him and then just continue to have great orgasms by yourself.
She can have an orgasm while she's, you know, make it work. What's yours?
All right. Our next question comes from Carlos and it says, hey, Kefir and Crystal, I love the read and all the stories you guys share, but I wanted to ask one question. I was born and raised in Manhattan and I completely understand and have gotten used to the bullshit that the city throws at everyone. Since you all moved here, I want to know, when was the first moment you realized just how messed up the city can be? I love you guys and I hope you have a great rest of the summer. Thanks, Carlos. Summer is only lasting for about another 10 or 12 days, so I plan to enjoy the little of it that is left.
Oh, my God.
But, because, you know,
I love fall, though. Like, when I'm, you know, being from Miami, we really have, like, day-to-day summer.
Yeah.
So I really never experienced seasons until I moved here, which you said a million times. But I really like fall. Because it's not, like, the early stages of fall, it's not too hot. Mm-hmm. It's not too cold. Fall wear is so nice and things of that nature. I think the first time I realized how rough New York can be, you have to keep in mind that the day I moved here, the city was recovering from a tropical storm.
Right.
And again, being from Florida, I'm no stranger to tropical storms. Usually that's something that comes and, you know, breezes right through. We might run out to 7-Eleven and go get a slushie in the middle of that bitch because mm-hmm. we ain't afraid of it. Like, that's
how we are.
Hurricanes, I was just about to say that. Hurricanes for us is like tornadoes for you. We ain't afraid of them hoes.
Right.
You know, but for New York, it's built differently. So when that hurricane hit here, I mean, tropical storm, it fucked this shit up. The trains weren't running. People didn't know what the mm-hmm. fuck to do. Like, lots of folks lost their lives. It was like crazy.
Yeah.
And there was a blizzard days later. Like, there was a blizzard.
Welcome to New York.
Days later. So, when I got here, as soon as I got here, I was like, wow.
I was actually going to say that same situation, but for different reasons, because I had just started a new job, and it was like my second day at work when the storm hit, and I refused to stay home, and I didn't know how to check my email from home yet or anything, so I just made my way to work from all the way up in fucking damn near the Bronx down to Times Square. And it took me 2.5 hours to get there. I had to walk and take the bus and walk some more. And it was hell. And when I got there, there was maybe 5 people in the entire building. And everybody was like, what are you doing at work? Go the fuck home. And so I remember thinking then it was a combination of things. Like, first of all, wow, like this city really, I had already known that New York was the type of place to like never really shut down and, you know, shit was just always open or available. And when the trains went out and like people had lost their electricity for days, I was like, wow, like this shit is really getting real. But then also it just kind of, it made me realize that something about the city had turned me into the type of person who was willing to journey 2.5 hours, you know, just to get to work. Like something in me had definitely changed at that
and
point.
Not your car.
Right. And not in the comfort of a car, which it would have been hell trying to drive too, but like trying to walk and take the bus, which was overrun with tourists and people trying to get to work. Like it was just hell trying to get there. But I felt like something in me had changed because I had done something, you know, that I would not have ordinarily done because of what this city can do. So, and then right around that time is when it was like fall was starting. So right around Halloween is when the weather starts getting really shitty in New York and it stays shitty till like mid-May. So then it was just like the worst winter of all time. But you find a way, you know, if you can make it here to just kind of try to stick through it. But
people keep saying that the last winter was like the like a really like a record-breaking bad. I think it maybe got really, really cold. Like maybe the numbers mm-hmm. were, But it didn't feel as bad as the previous winter to me.
Right. No.
And I think maybe it had more storms. I don't know.
Yeah, I think the previous winter had more like snow and stuff. But also that was like a first real winter. Like, because I have certainly never experienced shit like that growing up in Oklahoma, Texas, Louisiana. It does not snow. And it definitely does not look like that.
And like, you know, it's going to get cold and you know, it's going to snow and all that stuff. But nothing really prepares you for it. You have to like actually be in it to be like, oh, yeah, this is crazy.
And you don't understand it until every day the high is 20 degrees, 12 degrees. You don't understand.
You know what? We're going to have to live this again in just a few weeks. And so it doesn't even make any sense to like ruin our spirits now when we still sort of have some warmth.
Right.
So let's just go through this again when our lives are over.
But yes, so that would be the moment. I think we agree on that. It was
but
the storm.
The winter was a hell of a lot easier for me last year, maybe because I was in my own place.
Yes.
There is something about having your own space that is just you in those cold ass months and that motherfucking Keurig in there, bitch, with all the hot chocolate. Let us know. I'm not coming. I'm sitting right here in front of my TV with this goddamn cocoa, bitch.
And that was always the case. Like, if I have to fight to get somewhere, you can kiss my ass.
I couldn't deal with it being freezing cold and them little kids all over. No, no. I couldn't do it.
Okay, so, but yes, let's take another break and we'll be back.
Hey guys, don't forget that this episode is being brought to you by Tristan Walker and the amazing folks over at Bevel, the first and only shaving system for men with coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. I hate razor bumps. I'm very, very, very particular about them. I don't like them anywhere near my life. And so magically and wonderfully, the Bevel razor entered my life. 4 out of 5 men reported reduced razor bumps, discoloration, and irritation, and I am one of them. It works wonders. Okay, Bevel uses a single blade that cuts above the skin with less irritation. It's designed from the ground up to give you a smooth, bump-free shave. And its end-to-end shaving system includes a pre-shave oil, badger brush, which is so nifty, safety razor blades, cream, and a cooling restoring balm to make your face look like 5 gum.
Amen. And it comes in gorgeous packaging, so it works great as a gift for the man in your life. The holidays are coming up soon, and Bevel would be a perfect gift. You can start shaving smarter today at getbevel.com. And for 20% off your first month's membership, enter promo code THEREED at checkout. That's GETBEVEL.com. And use promo code THEREED to get 20% off your first month. Shave smarter and sexier with Bevel and THEREED. And now let's get back to the show.
Okay, so we've got just a few more here.
All right.
Okay, I've got one called Raised Racist. My aunt's a trash ass bitch.
Yum.
And Sunday Struggles.
So maybe my aunt's a trash ass bitch.
Why not? Okay.
That sounds good and disrespectful.
This one, it's kind of lengthy, and it's from Penny.
Penny.
Yes. Okay. My name. I don't even know if, I mean, he says his name, but I'm just gonna make it random anyway because I don't know what y'all want. All right, so my name's Henny. I'm 22 and was at the Chicago show. I was the one who bought y'all Hennessy. Perfect.
Oh, thank you.
But let's get down to the bullshit. I have an aunt that I don't see it for, and I need advice before I whoop this bitch's ass.
All right.
Okay. Just an FYI, my aunt is 48 and is the middle child of 3, so I'm 1,000% sure that that's part of her problem, but I digress. My aunt walks around with this high and mighty attitude, like she's better than everyone else. She's the type of skeezer to run up after a man, cooking for him, making him breakfast, and waiting on him hand and foot, but lets her kids walk around hungry.
Damn.
I know because I've seen it happen several times and have in turn come out of my pocket, I'm assuming, to feed her children. There was a word missing. I'm sorry. Back in May, her oldest son was away at prom escorting a younger family friend on the same day my great-grandmother passed away. Without thinking, I posted about it on Facebook, but I took it down not even 2 minutes later because I didn't want him to see it. Lo and behold, the next day, she goes to break the news to him and he told her that he already knew because he had seen it. She then called me, going off about me ruining his night, and I'm a piece of shit. Obviously, I felt bad because it wasn't my intention, but I was just posting about my family loss like any other person would. Someone being at prom is the last thing on your mind when you're mourning a loss. Dyslexia, I swear. No, the very next day, we were at my Meemaw's house having a small family meal to discuss funeral arrangements. And while I was in the kitchen cooking, this bitch walks in, rolls her eyes at me, and walks back out. She then starts telling random strangers, quote, this motherfucker walked around posting shit on Facebook, and I'm not going to say his name, the cousin, okay, ended up seeing it, and he ruined his night. He's so fucking stupid. Him and his fat ass mama ain't ever going to be shit, blah, blah, blah. So I quickly cussed her out, for one, telling my business to some random bitch I don't know, and two, I had already apologized to my cousin and felt horrible enough. So I grabbed my shit, apologized to my meemaw for disrespecting her house, mm-hmm, and took my black ass home, and haven't fucked with her since. It also says, quick side note, I went to college and will be returning. This is highlighted. I don't know why.
Okay.
It says, quick side note, I went to college and will be returning next fall to finish my degree while her 21-year-old son sits around the house all day scratching his balls and playing video games. Yet I'm the bum who won't ever amount to shit. But you can omit this if you'd like. Well, I didn't. Since then, she has continued to open her mouth about my mother and I, spreading lies about us.
What the fuck?
How do I go about putting this shit to an end without going to jail? I've whooped her ass once before, but I was 12 then.
What?
I've whooped her ass once before, but I was 12 then, and doing it now would be a felony. What? Please help. No shit.
What?
So...
Okay.
Henny is over his aunt's shenanigans and apparently wants to fight her.
Okay. Well, but Henny, you're an adult now, so like you said,
and apparently male.
Right. I'm gonna try to just skip right on past that part. Because I have a feeling Henny is homosexual.
Yeah.
Okay. And so sometimes gay men have this belief that they can hit women, and it's like maybe not as bad as if straight men hit women. I'm here to tell you that that's a lie, but I digress.
I mean, I'm sure that he understands that, except, I mean, for when he was 12. But yeah, it was 12.
Your main problem here, sir, like, you just have to understand the fact that if your auntie is going to be talking shit or whatever, you can feel however you want to about it, but fighting her is not going to be the answer to this. Like, that's just, like, the 100%. I know you want to beat her ass, like, and I know you feel like you're justified in that. But fighting your auntie...
Talking about my mama would make me want to whoop your ass, too.
I get it. I really
do get it. Yeah, I do understand.
But, sir, like, you're an adult now. Like, she's not going to be able to handle it that way. If you want to cuss her ass back out on Facebook, subtweet, and all this other bullshit, you know, you do whatever the fuck you want to. Just keep it cute.
I feel like this calls for pettiness.
Yeah.
Like, you don't even really have to get angry or violent. Like, if I were you, what I would do is I would get on Facebook again. And I would, not that I know what that is, but I would figure out a way to get there. And I would make a status that would say something like, y'all want to know what's funny? 48-year-old women that would rather make random-ass niggas rice-a-roni and hamburger helper than telling their 21-year-old kids to get off their ass, put Call of Duty it down, and go get fucking jobs. It's really hilarious how, you know, 48-year-old women's grandmothers could die and they could still send their sons out to random tandem proms for schools that they don't go to. It's really funny that 48-year-old women find their way. Like, I would just like, go off. Yeah. Since that Facebook shit bothered you so much, bitch, how about let's have a part two. Let's have it. I would leave a lengthy-ass mm-hmm. Facebook thing. And then I would end it like, it also would be real funny if a 48-year-old had a problem and didn't decide to come and say some shit to my goddamn family. Like, choose your words however you want to, but I'm just saying what
and
I would do.
And tag her in it.
And, right.
And tag her and her son. Tag both of them.
Hello?
Just so right. Y'all know. I want you to know I saw it. You
tag
saw
him with
it.
The caption, what do you think about this? Like, hey, auntie, what you think about that?
See,
that's what I would do. Because, A, I work. Your
yes,
son doesn't.
Right.
I take care of my responsibilities, bitch. You do not. I'm there for my family, ho. You are not. You're messy. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say whatever the fuck I want to on Facebook. And if you have a problem with that, you can come see me and my fat ass mama. What about it?
Because you're not going to hit my mama.
You're not going to hit my mama.
You're not going to
do
that.
One thing about it, like.
That's one thing
you
about
will
it.
Not.
You can talk all your shit, but I bitch, I actually dare you to lay hands on my mama.
There are so many times, like, my mother knows. My mother's type of person to be like, I hope he ain't going to be around. Like, because I will smack dab lose it. Don't fuck with my mama.
I mean, that's real.
Or my daddy or anybody in the fuck else.
You know, just keep your fucking hands to yourself, actually. But anyway, yes, absolutely.
Okay. So that's all I've got for you.
Yeah, I just, bless your heart. This kind of stuff is like, I've been angry, you know, at people in my family before, but never something like this. I've never been in no feud with, like, I wanted to box my auntie. Like,
the angriest I ever got with my auntie was one day I went to, this is so stupid, I went to Ruby Tuesday, right? Because their food is disgusting, but they have a knocking salad bar. No, their salad bar is good. Or it was to
you
me.
You went
anyway.
To Ruby Tuesday for the salad bar?
I went to soup because it's good. It was good. The salad was good. I got a salad there and I took it home. Like, okay. I didn't even stay there. I was just like, I want a salad.
I thought you sat in the dining
room. Hell no.
That's a little.
Oh, yeah. Let me just sit here with a salad by myself.
By myself.
No, I went in there and like made a salad and I took it home.
Okay.
And I put it in the fridge. I didn't even eat it. I put it there and I was getting ready for it later. My aunt, who lives like a block away, came over there. It's, you know, she's my dad's sister. Mm-hmm. And she just opened the fridge and I guess saw a salad and was like, sure. Ate the whole thing. I was pissed. Like, I was like, why would she, A, you don't live here. And B, why would you come and eat this salad and not ask nobody who it was? That was the angriest I've ever been at my auntie in my life. Like, I took that anger with me for like 360. I don't even know if she knew I was mad. Cause I didn't say anything. To know she's my auntie. She's my, I just was angry. I think I told my mama that I was mad. But then I said, fuck it. She's my, I'm not going
right.
to go. I'm
going to
box
you
over
her
some,
up right now. Then
green.
Your daddy going to whoop your ass.
It's a salad, girl. Build a bridge. But I was mad.
I mean, listen, niggas and they food. That should be real.
Yeah, don't fuck. That's one thing you don't do. All right. This one says, Kiffy, are you still introverted? All right. All so right. We're going to say that your name is Shantice.
All right.
Okay, I had a quick, maybe not so quick question for Kid Fury about being an introvert because it's something I can relate to. I'm around your age, 24, and I still find being introverted is something I have a love-hate relationship with. On some days, I love it. I love being alone and I'm never bored, but on others, I feel a little left out in a group setting. I'm surrounded by coworkers who are more outspoken and lively in personality than I am, take in and have more in common. Meanwhile, I'm single and seeking a guy that I can bond with over that, and it can be discouraging seeing my coworkers text and talk to people all the time while my phone is what they call dry. Of course, on your show, you seem to be so outspoken about a lot of issues and things going on in the world. You throw parties, you host live segments of the show and don't seem to hold back. Do you find, as you're getting older, that you're somewhat or completely breaking out of your shell? Do you credit something or someone for that, or do you think you are what they call an extroverted introvert? I don't know what that is. Any words of encouragement you may have regarding this topic would be greatly appreciated. By the way, I saw you both in Atlanta. It was absolutely hilarious. Love the show. So
thanks.
Thanks, boo.
An extroverted introvert, just so you know, is an introvert who like does not prefer to be out in parties or be like the center of attention, but can be. And like, I definitely think that's you. But like, and somebody who truly does prefer to be alone and in their own head and prefer like solitude or the company of very few people, but is also very capable in social situations.
Well, to me, being introverted doesn't mean that you're a recluse. It just means that you prefer to, like, you work out of your head. Like, you are concerned with your feelings, your emotions. You're tapped into what you're feeling and what you're thinking, and it kind of, it affects the decisions you make, your social surroundings, trust, and all of those things. But it doesn't mean that you're afraid to go out. You know, like, I've had plenty of times where I go out, but when I do go out in most social settings, I'm either kicking it alone or just with a few people that I know and trust. I'm not really someone who will go to a function and go and try and meet people or talk to a stranger or whatever. I hate small talk. It is the worst thing in the world to me. I don't like it. I don't know how to
do
it.
You've always been like that.
I don't like it. I hate it. I hate it so much. I hate when people want to just be like chat like on the street. I hate when you're in a cab or an Uber and they want to talk to you about your day, and it's just like there is no way to really do that sometimes without coming off to as a bitch to people because they don't understand that, especially if they are extroverted. Right. And so I just stopped caring. But like the live shows and parties and stuff, that doesn't mean that I'm not introverted. I am. And in fact, Kid Fury is kind of like, because I think so much and I'm always living in my head and I'm an emotional person and all that kind of stuff, I think that I really started this as a means to get all of those thoughts out of my head. you know, in a humorous way because I like to laugh and not be so fucking like whatever. But, you know, even at parties sometimes, like even at 305 Live and All the Way Live, like I kind of stick to that one section where y'all are. I'll hop on the mic and I'll talk to everybody. I walk through the crowd, sure. And I stopped with people. I danced with people. I took pictures with loads of people. When the party was over, I shook hands and took photos with people who come up and stuff like that. But for the most part, I just prefer like solitude and my own thoughts and, you know, like that sort of thing. But it doesn't mean that I'm like shy. I just prefer, I don't know, sometimes like if people don't really,
Do you still consider yourself an introvert?
Yeah,
you do.
Absolutely. I don't think that I'm never going to not be introverted.
So just the fact that you throw parties and stuff like that doesn't make you feel like you're less of one?
Because
I think that's, I think that's what this person is trying to say. Like, it seems like for an introvert, most would not be able to handle like the pressure of having to be in public like that, like performing in public, because it's a lot for a lot of introverts to even consider like going to a
party. Like, for instance,
a
when we do the live shows, right? The Kid Fury that's on the stage is going to be different than the one in the meet and greet. Because on the stage, it's one type of energy. I'm up there. Mm-hmm. I can hardly, like, I may remember or recognize like 5 faces after the show is over that, like, on the stage when we are up there, because it's like a blur. You know, I just go up there and we do the show and hopefully it goes well. And then that's that. But during the meet and greet, it's a little bit harder for me to have like the small talk with people. And again, I don't want to come off as a bitch because everybody's so nice and they're coming out to, you know, like laugh with you and have a good time. But I'm very bad at being like, well, nice to meet you. Hi. That's never, it's just not, I'm not comfortable with that sort of thing yet. Mm-hmm. And I am still trying to figure that part out because I don't, like, some girl wrote this letter talking about how we needed, we, how dare we have meet and greets and this and stuff, whatever, because she's seen me out on the street. And
oh yeah, she didn't like the way you talked to her or didn't talk to her or something like that.
You said that she said that I was, she said hi to me and I, she said hi,
and
I love the show.
Liked the show. Yeah.
And I said thank you and kept
walked
walking.
Off, yeah, and she felt like you weren't grateful enough or appreciative enough.
And to that,
and you needed to humble yourself. And that's why everybody loves Beyonce, because Beyonce is humble. And so we need to remember to stay humble or some shit.
Okay,
like
well, when you bump into Beyonce on the street and have a conversation with her and let me know how it goes, dumbass.
Jesus.
Shut the fuck up. What are you even talking about? I don't have to stop and talk to you on the fucking street. You don't know what the fuck I'm going through. You don't know what the fuck kind of day I'm having. You don't know what is going on in my life. You don't know where I'm coming from or where I'm going. If you said hi to me and I said, and you like my show, and I said, thank you. You act like I said, tell your mother to suck a batch of dick. Like, what do you, you know what I'm saying? Like,
was I not, did I not say thank you? But I mean, why did you think I had time to stop and chat? This is New York. It's middle of the day. I have somewhere to go.
And like, outside of that, even if I did it, again, I'm just not good at small talk. I'm that type of thing. It just makes me anxious and I don't know what to do with it. And it makes me uncomfortable. So more times than not, there have been plenty of times when I may be in like a really good mood or an upbeat mood and somebody might say hi to me or something like that. And I'll talk to them, take a photo with them, whatever. I don't really give a fuck, but you know, there are going to be other days where I might just be like, oh, hey, girl. And I'm going to keep going.
Yeah.
And I don't see, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, I see what you mean.
I'm not, I don't do this because I want to be anybody's star. I don't feel like I need validation. I don't feel like I need to be the most important, like a driving force in people's lives. I just want to laugh and have a good time. And that's it. I'm still dealing on how to like interact with not just people who listen to this show, but people in general. Like when I went to the fucking doctor's office the other day, this last time, and I walked in, this lady was sitting in the front and I didn't know where to go. And I assumed because she was sitting where she was sitting that she was like a receptionist or something. So I was like, which way is this doctor's office or whatever? And she told me, she was like, do you have insurance or whatever? And I explained to her this whole entire situation. And she tried to get me to sign up for some, long story, she was there like, I guess, trying to sell insurance or Medicaid or some shit that I didn't need. But by the time, like, I felt like I didn't know how to tell her, oh, girl, I don't need your insurance.
Like, what are you talking about?
Take this clipboard back.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I just took the clipboard and pen and I walked into the office and left it there because I didn't know how to tell her, like, so you didn't ma'am, just, you slow your like, roll. Like, I don't need this shit. She was like, and then there was like a huge language barrier on top of that. So she was like, no, you just fill it out and, you know, and then you can just bring it back when you're done. I was like, okay, girl. And then when I was done, I walked right past her and left. And I didn't even look at her in her face because I was afraid that she was going to be like, did you fill it out? And I wouldn't know what to say. Like, I'm just awkward.
Okay.
You know, yeah. So whatever.
All right. Well, yeah. Okay. I get that.
All right. So, do you want to do one more?
Say, I don't have a problem like talking to people, but I don't like being like the focus of attention or anything like that. Like, I don't like small talk, but I can do it. I just don't like when I feel like somebody has singled me out or like is trying. I don't know.
Like when you're put on the spot.
Right.
Exactly.
Like, oh, hey, like random person and here I am with some random question or something like that. Like, it's just like, I don't even know what to do with that.
It's, you know,
that kind of thing throws me off.
And like, I'm not complaining about it. I'm just saying I don't really, it's not something that right. I know how to deal with.
I mean, I think yet. People should just understand that if you bump into somebody on the street, there's a chance that they may be in a rush and they can't stop and say hello. Like, I'm sorry if you made that, if that made you think that we were just like stuck up bitches who couldn't be bothered to like be nice to their listeners, but like, girl, you really
I mean, I don't care because most of y'all are the exact same way. Y'all act like y'all ain't got attitude or okay. be having bad days and don't want to talk to people. Like,
you know, can bump into like, somebody you knew from high school and it don't mean you dislike them or something, but if you're not in the mood to talk, like if you just had a shitty day or just got fired or something, you don't want to sit and chit chat. Like, it's the same basic principle. So, yeah, we could do one more if you want to, or.
All right. Raised racist.
I feel like we've been in here for a while.
This is the last one.
Okay.
Okay, so this one says, I don't want to say his real name, but it says it. It doesn't say not to be. I'm just going to call him
Usher.
My name is Woody. I'm 22. I'm from Texas. I'm white, and I was raised in a racist home.
All right.
My father has a strong dislike for black people, Mexicans, and pretty much anybody that hasn't originated from here. He put it in quotes. I'm going to get to that later.
Okay.
I know you've discussed white people history in in a previous episode. So I won't go into that. Anyway, I was taught to not associate with any group other than white people. I didn't really understand why, but listened to my dad. Everything changed when I got to high school. I had the choice to attend public schools, and I wanted a different experience, so I went for it. The first person that talked to me in high school was black. My first teacher was black, and they were the most kind people I have ever met. I've never expected this, especially from the stories that my father told me. But fast forward to now, I'm in college. My best friend is black. I have an entirely different perspective than what my father taught me to have. He's heard from people that I've been hanging around black people, which I never told him because wow. I didn't care for his reaction. I'm going back home to visit before school starts, and he's going to ask about my intermingling with other races.
Jesus.
I want to be as respectful as possible, especially because the tuition check for my last year of school just cleared.
I know, that's right.
He's not going to like what I have to say because it includes telling him that I'm dating a black woman. How can I be as respectful as possible about my father's hurtful words to come? Because if he tries that racist crap in regards to my lady or my best friend, I'm going to tell him the fuck off. Please help.
Wow. I cannot believe a 22-year-old white boy in Texas listens to the read. Like, that blows my... And is like...
And his daddy is like, racist. His daddy might be the KKK. Shit.
And his daddy is so racist. And he has a black best friend and a black girlfriend. It goes back to that old joke about what you hate will end up in your family. Like, you spent all that time teaching your son to be hateful. Mm-hmm. And now he... laid up with a black
woman. That nice mulatto baby.
Woo, your daddy is going, he might stroke out because it sounds like from this letter.
What did I say? Some of them. Let me not go there because this is your daddy. But either way.
How do you say this like politely though to your father? Like, yo, you're racist as hell.
I like we were saying, we've said before, like, you don't have to. You can approach your parent with like respect and compassion and say, like, this is something that is really hurtful and I wish that it were different. And I would like for you to respect me as an adult and my decisions. And I don't understand, you know, X, Y, and Z. It doesn't sound like your father is going to budge on his opinion. Most mm-hmm. old racists don't. Mm-hmm. And that situation, I mean, in that scenario, then I would go for the jugular because who has time?
Right.
And in this day and age, especially like really what you should say is that besides you being hurt, I would go for the trick that parents usually use and say that you're disappointed. I would say, I am so disappointed and I am so like ashamed that you, my father, would continue such hateful, hurtful, ignorant, and unnecessary energy. Like, I don't understand this at all. It doesn't make any sense. You've raised me to believe one thing about these types of people for so long, and lo and behold, you've been everything but right. And I don't understand it. And it is really like mind boggling to me that I came from you, because it doesn't make any sense to me that you can think this way. Like, I don't know what it is about people of color that bothers you so much, but I don't have a problem with them, and you shouldn't either. And in fact, you should also say, keep in mind, Daddy, you didn't originate from here.
Come on. You don't like anybody who didn't originate, so you don't like your damn self?
This is not your country, it's white people. Not. You're not the norm. This isn't your land. You didn't start here. Every one of you hoes is immigrants. All y'all are from someplace else. Each and every one of you. You not from here. You're not. And I wish that y'all would get over that bullshit, like, go back to Africa. Why don't you just go back to that? Why don't you go back to Poland or Sweden or wherever the fuck it is that you came from, you European bitch? Right. Like, this is not, you're not from here. You came over here. You saw the motherfuckers that were here, and you killed raped, and the ones that you only kept so that they could work for you. Like, you're not from here. Mm-hmm. You didn't originate from here either, bitch. So while if you hate people who are from foreign countries, then you definitely hate your motherfucking self. And white people, that's how you can find a culture. Get on Ancestry.com or wherever and figure out which European country
you came from
and
go identify with that.
Some wooden shoes or whatever the fuck it is that you got. Like, every one of y'all has a culture. You just need to remember that this ain't your motherfucking motherland. This is not where you from. You did not originate here. It is all in the books. It's a part of history. These are things that have happened.
You're really arrogant about race when, like, you don't, but, and acting like y'all are the preferred and chosen people when this is not even your land. So, like, your dad just needs a reality check.
You stole it.
Right. This isn't your people don't come from here.
And then those same people that you don't want your kids hanging around are the ones that you had your feet on.
Come on.
When you dragged their asses over here, you bought them or stole them from whatever other fucking countries and continents and had them come over here and build and fucking maintain this bitch for you. So you should really be thanking blacks, Mexicans, and like Asians, whomever, Indian, Eskimo, I don't give a damn.
Right.
You should be thanking each and every single one of them, because all you white bitches and all your fucking corporate jobs and your fancy offices with your crisp suits, please know, if it wasn't for the blood that was spilt from the slaves and all the people that you dragged over here and made build your shit, you wouldn't have none of that stuff, because you hoes were too lazy to do it your goddamn self, and you still are.
All right.
So that's what I would tell your dad.
Play that
daddy
for your dad, and then
you got your motherfucking nerve.
Enjoy
bitch,
the conversation
please.
From there. But I would just play that, honestly.
And if he falls over like Rita Claxton did and fucking the Golden Girls, oh well. I'm sorry, that's your daddy. You don't want me to say that. I'm just saying, like, that's awful.
It is. So yeah,
originated here. What?
I mean, that's a lot of just pure white nerve right there. Like, who do you think you are?
And I bet you if someone asked him if he was racist, he would say no.
And I'm sure he said that with the fullest sincerity. Like, he meant every word of that lie. You really have the audacity to look down on other races when you would not be where you are without the way that your people exploited them. You really have the audacity and continue to disenfranchise to this day. Y'all really have the nerve to be mad at poor people for wanting a living wage when the economy is set up to funnel more money to the people who are already the richest. You have the nerve to be mad that people want enough money to pay their rent with working a 40-hour week, and you not mad that these CEOs are bringing in billions of fucking dollars? Billions, bitch? You not thinking this shit through.
But it's all right there. You can find it. You know,
right there.
They're in plenty
but
of books,
right, girl.
Google,
all, right.
all of these things. But I just wish that white folk would stop trying to put this like veil over our eyes.
Yeah.
Like,
we
I don't
see it.
Everybody knows these things. So I don't know if you're hoping that one day we'll all wake up and live in this fairy tale world that you keep trying to force upon us.
Right.
But today, tomorrow, and next week, you're going to get the fuck.
That's right. Good luck with that conversation with your daddy. Let us know how it goes.
And that's about it for this special mailbag episode of The Read. I hope you enjoyed it. We love doing them.
Yes, and continue to send your questions at asktheread@gmail.com so we can put them on future episodes and future mailbag shows. You never know. let's see.
If you have a read that you have in your spirit, you know, sweetheart, if you have, if you want to read your daddy, you can send us a pass3 at gmail.com. And we're going to get back into that.
Yes, we are. Don't forget the new season. Speaking
of dads, my dad's calling me on FaceTime.
Aw, you should answer. Well, no, don't answer right now.
I'm not doing that.
Say, God only knows. Don't forget the new season of Black Jesus begins this Friday on Adult Swim. It airs at 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central. Don't forget to check it out. It's only on Adult Swim. Black Jesus this Friday.
Check out Black Jesus. It's quite funny.
I have it on my DVR. I will be catching it as soon as we get back to America.
Yes. Shout out to John Witherspoon, Corey Holcomb.
John Witherspoon is really just black legend. He is just.
I feel like John Witherspoon is underrated. Like, I don't feel like he has.
Didn't BET give him an Icon Award or something?
I hope so.
If not, they need to, because
John Witherspoon needs to be celebrated.
He does. Well, we need to give this man his flowers while he's still living.
Hello.
Because he's everything.
So yeah, do we have anything else?
No, this is TheRead.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. This is The Read as always. And nope, I think that's it.
All right. So the acronym for today will be WYFWM.
Why you fuck around?
No, there's no.
Damn. Oh, there was no A.
Where you from, white man?
Oh.
Where you from, nigga? Where you from? You remember? Oh, you didn't listen to that album.
No, I don't think I did.
All right, never mind. All right, so we'll see you later.
All right, bye, y'all.
Hey, y'all. This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Everyone knows the holidays can take a toll on your bank account. So if you're looking for creative ways to increase revenue and give your family and friends the holiday treats they deserve, then you need to get started with Squarespace's new feature, Squarespace Courses. As for me, I'm very qualified to help y'all learn how to maybe start journaling every day to get your thoughts out and improve your mental health, or I could teach you how to get on the nerves of every man in a 5-mile radius. I'm an expert at that. Squarespace has the tools you need to create and sell your own online courses. You can start with a professional layout that fits your brand, upload video lessons to teach techniques and skills, and then tailor your course with the powerful built-in Fluid Engine editor. With Squarespace courses, you can create engaging content that your audience will love, then simply add a paywall and set the price. Plus, you can charge a one-time fee or sell subscriptions. It's up to you. Turn your creativity into income with Squarespace courses. Just head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/read to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Again, that's squarespace.com/READ. Let them know Kid Fury and Crystal sent you.
Welcome to Nada Yada Island.
This season on Nada Yada Island.
When we were new, they spoiled me. They even gave me a phone. But then, it's like I didn't exist.
Don't take yada yada from your wireless carrier. Now with Metro, get that new customer feeling again and again. Introducing Metro Flex. Free 5G phones when you join, same deals as new customers when you stay. Only at Metro by T-Mobile. Just bring your number and ID and sign up for an eligible plan. After 12 months, trade in and get our best deals on select devices.